back on Downtown. We continue to celebrate the upcoming 50th anniversary of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And this time around, we welcome back to the program an actor who won 3 Emmy Awards for his portrayal of Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. By the way, he would win 2 more for playing that same character in the spin-off series, Lou Grant. We are thrilled to be joined once again this afternoon by Ed Asner. Hello, Ed. How are you?
Fine. You?
Wonderful. Thank you. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to talk to you. What's happening?
Well, you know, trying to get through this pandemic like everybody else. How are you getting through it?
Don't ask.
I know you spent a little time watching the Democratic Convention last week, and like the rest of us, were so impressed with that wonderful young man from New Hampshire.
Is that the stutterer?
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a beautiful, beautiful. It made us all look at ourselves.
It sure did, and I what a contrast with what people will likely see these next few nights, though. I don't think I'll be paying much attention to the other convention.
Well, I don't know what they'll do on ratings, but I'm glad I'm not in their shoes.
No question about that. Well, we wanted to talk with you about the Mary Tyler Moore Show because we're coming up on the 50th anniversary there. And let's start with what was it about the script and the part of Lou Grant that attracted you?
It was a job. It was a job, baby. And I didn't question that much in those days.
Now,
anything to keep me busy was enough to keep me off the street.
Now, is the story true that you did a reading, it didn't feel great to you, and you actually went back into the room and asked them to let you read through again?
As I said at the time, Jim Brooks said, well, that was a very intelligent reading. I said, yeah, it wasn't funny. And he said, well, when we have you back with Mary, we want you to read a wild, wiggy, all-out, crazy. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And I said, So I started to walk out, and I stopped and turned and said, well, why don't you have me try it that way now? And if I don't do it, don't have me back. And that kind of threw them for a loss. And I said, well, we have another appointment, who was Gavin McLeod, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And I said, but go ahead and try it. So I tried it like a crazy man, and they laughed appreciatively, and they said, read it just like that when you come back with Mary. As I walked out, I thought, yeah, well, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? So I waited a week, 10 days, whatever it was, trying to remember how I did that reading, what they laughed at. I couldn't remember. I came back, and I read it crazily again. They laughed again. A couple of years later, I found out when I left the room, Mary turned to them and said, are you sure? They said, that's your Lou Grant.
And was it Ethel Winant, the casting director, that was really pulling for you to get the part of Lou?
Yeah, they asked Ethel, can Ed Asner do comedy? And she said, Ed Asner can do anything.
What was wonderful?
Yeah, nice of her.
What was wonderful about the part is, I've watched some of the early episodes recently, and with any good role and with any good television show, the part really grew and developed so much over the course of the 7 seasons.
Yeah, I guess you could say I gave him a lot to work with.
What was Mary like as, not just a co-worker, but as a boss? It was clearly her show, but at the same time, you were such a tight ensemble. How did that working relationship go?
Well, you never consciously thought of Mary as the boss. Of course, you know about Grant Tinker in the background.
Mm.
Didn't think about that. But you know that he had muscle. But you, I think we automatically... But it automatically registered in however we approached it. That sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook. And Jay, our director, was the policeman, of course.
Right.
He he saw that it was all prim and proper and well regulated. And then we constantly have the guys come down, the guys, even when Trevor Silverman was one, have the guys look at it. So they come down, they make their comments and their adjustments, and we'd make our adjustments. And by the time we got to Friday night, we were brilliant.
We're talking with Ed Asner here on Downtown. One of the best episodes of the series has to do with the separation of Lou Grant and his wife, Edia, and that could have been played purely for comedy, and there were some funny moments, but it was also a very poignant episode as well.
Yeah, it was. I remember feeling it. Well, first of all, I was shocked when my wife was introduced into the show. And I think the next episode, she was shit-canned. So it took a bit of adjustment on my part, but I had to do some fast pedaling.
I just happened to see today the episode was on Lou's first date, where Mary sets you up on a blind date, and you show up in Mary's apartment, and it's a woman in her, 80s, early 90s, perhaps.
That was Arthur Singleton's sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Dagwood's sister. And she was vaudeville trained. So she kept trying to do athletic legerdemain with her body. And we had to restrain her.
One of the most famous episodes of the series and in all of television history is Chuckles Bites the Dust, the death of Chuckles the Clown. And I understand that originally the first read-through or the last rehearsal, you were well short, maybe 4 or 5 minutes or so. And was it Jim Brooks and Alan Burns who just sort of gave you and Gavin the opportunity to really let those jokes play out?
Well, the laughter that I would indulge in with Gavin's one-liners was prolonged. So that's true. I prolonged the laughter, and I guess it was beneficial for the audience as well. We did the show on tape on the Tuesday night before the Friday.
Right.
And Grant told the guys, fix it. They didn't know what the hell to do. They thought they had done a good job. So they worked, and we all were under the gun and were religious about persevering, and when it came to Friday night, the dictum was, let's play the hell out of it, and we did.
You sure did.
And we stretched it out to its full length.
The finale is one of the great finales in all of television history, and there are two wonderful moments in that film, a lot of wonderful moments, but the two that stand out to me, obviously Mary shutting off the lights at WJM the last time, but your final line, gosh, as many times as I've seen that, that's just a gut punch to hear it even after all these years.
Thank you. I felt it too. We all were going our different ways, but we weren't eager to either. We would have been happy to have stayed with the show. So the producers thought that they had run their course.
You got the opportunity to stay with the character with a wonderful spinoff, and one of the only times I can think of in television history when a spinoff has gone from a comedy to a drama, and the Lou Grant series was tremendous, and again, a great writing and another terrific ensemble for you to work with on that series.
Yeah, I was very proud of that cast. It was a beautiful cast, and every time I get a picture of the cast in the mail, I make it a point to say it, even though half of them are dead.
So as you look back, and you've had such a remarkable career, as you look back, what do those 7 years on the Mary Tyler Moore Show mean to you?
Well, for one thing, it showed me that properly handled, I could do comedy, which I was never secure about. So that I developed myself as a comedian. Carl Reiner would disagree with that. But given the proper circumstances, I can get a laugh, I think. And that was very important. It it meant I had two faces of Eve instead of one. And I was eager to demonstrate it wherever I went, whoever could use me.
Well, is it true what they say about
travel?
Is it true that, you know, the key to playing comedy is to not be in on the joke, but to play it seriously, to play it like drama?
Yes, I haven't heard that before, but you're absolutely right. There will be emphasis, stresses in the playing, but it's not necessarily playing it to be ha-ha.
Mm. Well, Ed, it is wonderful to talk with you once again. We're so disappointed that we didn't get to have you here back in the spring for your show. But hopefully when things get closer to normal, we can bring you back here and get you on the stage in Maine once again.
I think it's a terrible betrayal on your part.
It will not be the last time I let you down, Ed.
Yeah, I bet. We'll see about that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Stay well. And we hope to talk with you again very soon.
It was good being with you.